Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live with another wonderful guest. And today we're going to do something a little bit different, I think, from the usual. My guest is Holly Peterson, who will tell you what she does in just a minute. What I want to say is that love letters, as you know, are for anything at all, not just romance, but for inviting people into your life, sometimes for saying goodbye in a compassionate way, for sending memories, for seducing and wooing and proposing, for just anything at all, and to anyone or anything at all. We've had people write love letters to concepts, to buildings, to pets, to strangers. It's lovely. It doesn't matter how you do it. Oh, and to yourself and to people who are long gone from this earth. It doesn't matter what you write, just so you do it as your truth put to paper and stamp it and mail it to someone to bring some joy to someone else. So, Holly, I want to go right to you, and you introduce yourself, and you say in your words what it is you do, and then we're just going to start right in talking about that subject.
Great. I oversee the bullying prevention program at Jewish Family and Children's Services. And this program provides...
And this is in San Francisco.
It's in San Francisco, yes. But we really serve the entire Bay Area.
Yes.
So Marin, the peninsula, mm-hmm. and the program provides education on what bullying is, mm-hmm. how to prevent bullying and intervene in it. And the education is for parents, it's for teachers, school administrators, and I also do individual work with families who have been impacted by bullying.
As bullies or victims?
Both.
Good. Okay. I want to ask you something or mention something and see what you have to say. I'm a great deal older than you are. And I remember when bullying caused torment and misery and a truancy and sickness, and no teacher or no principal ever did anything about it that I ever knew.
Yeah.
It was just part of how kids were. When did that change? Was that with the suicide of that gay teen who was, you want to talk about that? That was.
Yeah. So it really, the attention to bullying and the awareness about the impact it has on children's emotional well-being, as well as their academic performance, mm-hmm. really started with the media attention around the suicide. So there were a number.
And that was how long ago?
Oh, that's a good question.
That wasn't more than a year.
That was maybe a couple of years ago.
A couple of years?
So it hasn't been more than a year or two since the media has really highlighted how serious bullying can get.
I have a question. Why does it take a hideous death to focus attention on something that should have been handled certainly in 1820?
Right.
What gives?
It's such a good question because bullying has been around forever.
Yes.
I think what's happened is the bullying that's occurring right now in some ways is getting more severe with the technology, with the internet. So cyberbullying is taking bullying to a whole nother level.
Talk about how that works.
So cyberbullying, it can happen over a social networking site like Facebook, still one of the most popular social networking sites for kids, mm-hmm. Kids meaning adolescents. Mm-hmm. And there can be mean posts, tags to photos with cruel comments about the photos.
So those go all over. So everyone
who's potentially the audience is, I mean, it's really
worldwide.
Yeah. And so the bullying then has a much wider audience. Also, there's something about the screen and not getting to see the target's face, the recipient of the cruelty, that invites even more cruelty, so the bullying can be meaner. There's something about the perceived anonymity that can create much more severe...
Oh, because the bullies feel safer.
Right, right. They feel they're not going to get caught, or at least they don't have to see the target's emotional response to what they're saying and what they're doing. So
what do they say? Can you give an example of... And how do girls do it differently than boys? And do boys use cyberbullying, or is it mostly girls?
It's both, but it tends to be more the realm of girls, and part of that is because girls still in this culture are socialized still to be nice, to mm-hmm. be good, to not express anger and other negative emotions directly, and so this is a way that they can express these emotions and act out their anger, their jealousy, their need for control and power, and still maintain the facade that they're a good girl, that
in
they're
person,
a nice girl.
They can look like,
right.
What do they say? I mean, I imagine it's a way of shunning and excluding someone from a social group.
So there are a couple of, there are many different ways that it happens. So one way it happens in terms of social exclusion and the shunning is that there may be a party that girls are invited, that some girls are invited to and other girls are not. And then the next day on Facebook, there are posts of the pictures with little comments that say, Anna wasn't here. Anna wasn't invited. So it then...
Oh, but that just, Anna wasn't invited, but that doesn't have the nya-nya-nya-nya-nya.
Anna wasn't invited because she's a loser. Anna wasn't invited.
Oh, so that's what I'm asking. It goes,
right. Yeah, and so it can be... So that's the way that the social exclusion piece gets really then publicized. So it's not just then Anna that knows that she's being excluded, but it's potentially the whole school that knows she wasn't invited to this party.
Right.
There can be also much more egregious comments about... Anna is fat and ugly and no one likes her. Anna isn't even worth, she shouldn't be alive. So,
oh God.
And the suicides that have happened.
More than one, you're saying.
Have been of that egregious nature. So that some of the comments that are being posted on the websites or bashboards or in chat rooms are actually either physical threats to the child or comments like, you don't even deserve to be alive. You should just kill yourself.
Oh my goodness.
So again, that kind of cruelty is not necessarily something that that kids would say to each other face to face, but on the internet, they feel much more able to do that.
But I think they do probably say those things face to face in the classroom also.
I think it's...
Or the playground, no?
They do, but I think it goes to a whole other level when they don't have to look the target in the face.
Sure. Which is really not only a bully, but kind of a chicken bully.
It's a cowardly way
yes.
It's
not even a. So what recourse does Anna have here? I mean, how can she answer this, or she just can't?
So, first of all, it's important that she have someone she can talk to about this. What we do know about the targets of bullying is they often don't tell anyone.
Yeah,
and if they do tell. Anyone, it's usually a peer. So it's important that she have at least a friend that she can talk to, a teacher, if she feels comfortable telling her parent, because just simply saying this is happening to me, that provides some level of emotional relief. Mm-hmm. It's not going to solve the problem. It's not going to completely eliminate the relief, but it's going to make her feel better.
How did it get to the point where you now can go into schools and deal with this? Like, what did you do? Knock on a door and say, here I am? And let's talk about this horrible problem and make a program out of it?
So my entry into the bullying prevention world really started very accidentally. I was doing, with a colleague, some conflict resolution and communication skills training for actually organizations and individuals, and a school approached us. And this was 10 years ago, so it was before all of the media attention. And my colleague and I developed a program for this school. Since then, though, now schools are asking for it.
How wonderful that somebody, it was a principal who came to
It was
to
a principal.
And who recognized there was a problem.
Yeah.
God bless.
And 10 years ago, in a rough inner city school, very under-resourced, and they were recognizing they were having a lot of bullying, particularly around racial issues, because they had a very racially diverse student body. So it was surprising. And back then, that was the only, and we developed this program. We were so excited about it, and we found that no other schools were interested. So
gold star for this principal.
Exactly. Fast forward then 10 years with all of the media attention on bullying because of the suicides. Unfortunately, it took that. Schools now are asking for this, and actually California legislation is mandating public schools to have a bullying prevention policy and procedure in place.
Do schools have the feeling that if they do nothing and there's a tragedy that they can be sued?
There is some fear about that.
So
yes.
It gets down to if there's money involved, they'll take action or the threat of being sued. Oh, that's just
unfortunately
awful.
Sometimes that's what it takes.
I mean,
and
awful.
So it has taken California legislation to require these schools or mm-hmm. to motivate these schools to implement these. So we started the bullying prevention, Jewish Family and Children's Services started the bullying prevention program really, I think, in response to schools saying, we want this, and to the media attention that was being given to bullying. So now what schools are really coming to us, and parent, even more than schools, parents are coming to us. So parents, typically parents whose child has been bullied mm-hmm. will come to will call me and say, my child is being bullied. The school...
Where's your phone number that they can do this? Do you want to say a website, by the way, right
yes.
now? Let's do that before we forget. Please.
Absolutely. So I can be found... So the Jewish Family and Children's Services website, which is jfcs.org.
jfcs.org.
Is one way to find me. And Parents Place is a program of Jewish and Family Services. And click on bullying prevention. That's where my information, my contact information will come up.
Okay, good.
So parents are often coming. It's usually the parents, in fact, even more often than the schools, I would say, that are coming and saying, we need help as parents knowing what to do, how to help our child, but we also want the school to help because the bullying is happening at school. And the
so how effective has it been?
It has been very effective, and we're hoping to do more outcome studies to determine how effective it is. That's the one piece that we are wanting to really expand. But just having everyone in the school community, the teachers, the administrators, the parents, know what bullying is, how to recognize the signs of bullying, how to intervene in it. Yeah.
What are the signs? Because we talked about this when we first met a few
right.
weeks ago, and I wanted to know the difference between just kids kind of rough playing
right.
and bullying. Is
right.
there just a cruelty level that changes or what?
So bullying is different than kind of conflict and teasing and kids being kids in that there's always a power differential. So the child who's doing the bullying has more power, has more strength. It's often a child who may
that
have...
That can be just perceived also because
it could
of
be
the
perceived.
Weakness of the victim.
Yes.
No? Okay.
Yes. So the power differential may be that the target of bullying is socially more isolated, is more withdrawn, is shy, has a more reserved personality, and the child who's doing the bullying is kind of a stronger, has higher social status, more connected, or just a stronger sense of self and personality. And the other element that bullying that is part of bullying is that there's a systematic targeting of a child. So it's this one direction cruelty toward this child. So it's not going back and forth between the two children.
I see.
It's the child who's bullying targeting repeatedly the
like
the
attack
weaker
and
child.
Cowering, attack and cowering.
Right, right.
And
so it's not mutual.
I'm guessing that the bullies tend to have some unfortunate leadership abilities because I've seen
kids yeah.
join in on the bully's side.
Yes, and that is...
Because they're afraid the bully will turn on them?
Absolutely. They're afraid the bully will turn on them, that they'll then be the target. And in order to protect themselves from that,
right.
they'll kind of join in and become a bystander. And the kids who use bullying behavior are natural leaders.
Yes,
and
isn't it?
We need to find a way to help them become positive leaders. These are kids with strong personalities. They like to be in charge. They like to be in control. They do have influence. And those are all in and of themselves
positive
yeah. qualities.
I used to be a probation officer. And one of my kids many years ago was a girl who was picked up with a sawed-off shotgun on her way to school to do something about a really nasty, sadistic gym teacher.
Wow.
Now, on the one hand, she had her eye on the right target.
Right.
And she was fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And just using the right... Anyway, we... Real leadership abilities.
Right. And that's what they need to learn.
And finally, the knowledge that she could use it differently.
Yes. Yes. It's important. So these are not evil. I mean, most of the time, these are not
right.
evil kids. These are kids that if we start teaching them how to use their leadership qualities in a positive way, if we start early, like in elementary school, then we can prevent these kinds of behaviors.
How do you get a bully to understand that someone has been hurt at his or her hands and evoke remorse if it isn't coming.
It's definitely a process because kids who are using bullying behaviors are not the most empathetic kids. Sometimes they just can't access the empathy.
Yeah.
So we need to activate their empathy and perspective taking skills by asking them questions like, how would you feel if this happened to you? Helping them understand the impact that
But if they're not empathetic mm-hmm. and you ask that question, what do you get as a rule for an answer?
Usually you'll get, well, he's just so irritating. Irritated me, but she's annoying. Well, she deserves to be treated like that because she's, you know, whatever.
So there's a block for you.
Yes, there is a block. And so what a piece of this needs to be a lot of coaching and teaching that what you're doing does have impact, and here's the impact it has, and if this happened to you, how would you feel? And then part of it is helping them to take responsibility and accountability,
yes.
have accountability for their actions. So really requiring them to understand, you chose to act this way, here's the impact it had on this other child, and here's a natural consequence.
Now what would that natural consequence?
So for younger children, it might be sitting in from recess.
Okay, so a punishment, time out, as they call it now.
Yes. And while that punishment alone is not going to do the trick, I mean, we really recommend in our program that there be discipline versus punishment. And discipline involves a consequence, but also involves teaching and coaching.
Oh, okay. So I really used the wrong word then.
Well, it's one that I don't use because I think what happens with parents whose children have been targeted is they want the bully punished, expelled from the school, suspended from the school. And the difficulty with that is it's not going to then teach the child who's bullying the behaviors that they need to be doing instead.
Good point.
It's not going to be teaching them accountability, how to take responsibility for their actions. It's just going to make them mad. And so that when they come back to the school or go to a different school, they're going to keep acting this way. So it's a process. It's a process. It's getting these kids involved in helping activities, so putting them in charge of helping around the house, getting them involved in a volunteer project, helping them to step into more of a positive leadership helper role so that they feel what it feels like to be in that role instead.
To be a good person.
Yes.
Oh, that's lovely. So mm-hmm. because the I would guess, I'm guessing that the good feeling from being a good person is better than the bad feeling of being a bad person or the good feeling of being a bad person.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And sometimes it takes some work to get them there, to get them to to be comfortable in that role and to have the experience of what it feels like to be good.
Well, also, I know from my own experience as a human being, I mean, I think all children have been victimized by it or seen it. Although I tell you, sometimes you see children who are not capable of it and don't have it in them.
Yes.
And then you see people who are just, that is how they get through the world. But the truth is you see adults that way. And I'm guessing that many of these really severe bullies are being bullied at home.
Yeah. Yeah. We do know that there are certain types of family systems mm-hmm. and family environments that are more likely to lead to a child bullying.
Mm-hmm.
And those are families or parents that have an overly punitive and aggressive style of punishment. So we're using physical punishment, are giving forms of punishment that maybe are more harsh than the behavior.
Well, just forms of living. I mean, you see adults who are just bullies.
Yeah.
And they're intimidating their children. Sometimes you can look at a family photograph
and see the dynamics there.
You really can. You can see cruelty in a parent's or some kind of psychosis in a parent's eyes. And you can see the picture of children and they are terrified looking.
Yeah. They are, I mean, parents are the models, and that's where children learn how to be human beings and be in relationship to each other. And so it's important for parents to recognize that they're modeling this behavior.
How do you do that?
So it's a good question. And the ideal approach is to get the whole family in the room with a counselor and really help them understand the dynamics that are leading to the behaviors, the aggressive behaviors in the child. The child is, I'd say, middle school and up, and the family is not going to change how they are, then I think you can work with the child to understand, okay, you can be different than your family. But a child who's in elementary school is not going to be able to do that.
Right.
They're not going to be able to see themselves as separate from their parents.
Right.
So a skilled family therapist mm-hmm. is really needed in those situations.
Okay. And you can refer?
So we, in the bullying prevention program, we do work with these kinds of families. I do. So I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. So
yes.
part of my role in the bullying prevention program is not only educating parents in schools, but also working individually with families and children.
Mm-hmm. And there are instances, I recall, and I don't know if this still exists, maybe the world has changed in this, of teachers who were bullies. Oh, there were gym teachers who were brutal.
And
boys' vice principals who had paddles and would just wail on kids who were probably didn't really deserve what they got.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't find that anymore?
So not to that extreme, mm-hmm. typically, but that doesn't mean that there aren't schools that that couldn't benefit from improving their school environment mm-hmm. and having an environment where there is more respect and kindness and mm-hmm. cooperation and celebration of difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the bottom line is the school environment, the school culture, the culture of the school
yes.
is crucial in preventing bullying.
Now, so you deal with bullying in school.
Yes.
Okay, so that doesn't address the issues of bullying in the workplace or corporate bullying. That's a whole other field?
It's a whole other field, and I think it's a necessary field. It's a
yes.
field that we need more experts to be able to go in and work with businesses, because even one bully in a workplace can really impact not only the culture of the organization, but productivity.
I was just going to say, yes.
And so if a business cares about their productivity, then this is the kind of education I would recommend they get.
So you're touching on something really kind of interesting when you talk about productivity. No business wants to come in last.
Right.
I mean, they want to be, but the same in schools, because schools are rewarded for performance
right.
these days.
Yes.
And so if you have children who are doing badly because they're terrified
mm-hmm.
or can't concentrate on assignments because they're so preoccupied with their own safety,
right.
then that school's not going to do well in the performance realm.
Absolutely. And
so it's exactly the same in a way.
It is the same. And I think if schools could recognize the connection, and many of them do now, mm-hmm. recognize the connection between the social and emotional learning and the social and emotional environment and academic performance, then they would really
yes.
put more emphasis
yes.
in bullying prevention
yes.
and the kind of curriculum that teaches kids respect and kindness.
I have a thought. So ordinarily, I would say to you at this point, who gets your love letter today? Maybe you do have someone in mind who could get a love letter from you. But if you don't, I have a thought about the subject of love letters and bullying.
Yeah, I would love to
and
hear
I would,
it.
I'd like to know what you think of it, because mm-hmm. I think this should be part of a program.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the most beautiful kinds of a love letter, the apology love letter.
Yeah.
And for someone who has wronged anyone,
mm-hmm.
a love letter, an apology letter, is one of the most powerful tools to let yourself off the hook
yeah.
and to let the other guy off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very special and specific kind of a letter.
Mm-hmm.
And there can never be a but or an if.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was talking to me about the other day and had gotten one, actually. And it was supposed to be an apology letter, and I mean, I shouldn't have laughed, but I did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, look, if I hurt your feelings, well, there was no if. The person had done something
right.
really regretful,
right?
And it should have been, I am so sorry I hurt your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't deserve it. And a love letter is about the other guy.
Right.
And I think love letters from the bully
yeah.
to the victim would be powerful in so many ways. There's nothing like seeing the handwriting
mm-hmm.
of the, you know, because that's a personal communication. Then you're actually touching something that has felt the hand of the bully, the writer, in a kind way.
Right.
And to say, you know, something like, you are really such a nice person, you're a good student, and you never hurt anybody, and you did not deserve what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, stamped and mailed.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think it would be incredibly powerful both for the recipient to actually feel like, wow, I didn't deserve that.
Yes.
It wasn't my fault. And I also think it's healing for
yes.
the writer.
That's a
yeah.
very big part of it. Because the writer has the power to put his best self or her best self on paper and see that best self.
I think it's interesting, your idea, because it's part of what we recommend that schools and parents do with children who are bullying, is we recommend that they really, they offer a very concrete, tangible form of apology to the target. And this, it might be a letter.
This is the most tangible.
It is.
And also,
yeah.
when the recipient of this letter feels a little bit weak and like that frail person,
yeah,
who drew the bully out,
yeah,
the person can read that letter and kind of, it's healing forever.
You're right, because they can hold on to it, yes, forever and keep going back if they,
yes,
they need a reminder.
And I think we live in a wonderful age where we can make copies of letters we send.
Yes.
And for the bully to make a copy and stick it and let his parents put it, let him,
yeah,
he can look at it years later and see how far he's come.
Right. It can be transformative. Like,
it
this is.
Is
the moment where I turned the corner and became a different person.
They are, yeah, transformative.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the idea.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. I mean, love letters have the power to do so many things.
Yes.
And there's an honesty, and what the letter that you write today will be as true in 10 years or 200 years as it is the day that you wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you've changed, I mean, we find that in love letters, you know, you can write a love letter to somebody and 10 years later, for some reason, you get to see it again and think, oh, how could I have even had a crush on such,
yeah,
a dweeb? But the point is, so your feelings aren't the same, but the love letter still holds the truth that that's how you felt then.
Absolutely.
Oh, I hope somehow we can get that done.
I think it would be amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's a good exercise for everybody, even a victim,
mm-hmm,
to write an apology letter to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always someone, even to yourself,
yes,
for having put up with that kind of crap.
Right.
And forgiven yourself. And it,
right,
doesn't, there's so many things to do.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad you did this with me. Thank you so much.
It was my
much.
Pleasure.
Thank
it's my
you,
pleasure.
Dear. This is so important and so interesting that it is now the issue it should have been, you know, ages ago.
Yes.
I'm happy for that. I also want to mention that Holly runs a program called Dream House. And I'm going to ask Holly to come back and talk about that. That is a shelter for abused women. And that's a whole other wonderful thing. Will you come do that with me real soon?
I would love to.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you again and again. This is Janet Gallen saying goodbye for now. And please remember that if you think you need to write a letter only on a special occasion, writing a letter is a special occasion at any time of day or night and to anyone at all. Please try it. Just pick a person and write a letter. Thank you. Bye-bye.